The Linux Newslog Podcast, episode number 107 for Monday, October 2nd, 2006. Welcome to the show, everybody. This podcast is brought to you by Visa. When you use Visa, you're protected by multiple layers of Visa security, including continuous fraud monitoring, zero liability, and access to identity theft assistance. And Visa is ever watchful, always innovating, finding new ways to keep you safe. Safer, better money. Life takes Visa.
Linux News Log, your source for Linux and open source related news on the net. Live to the hard drive from Phoenix, Arizona. Linux News Log is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here.
Hey everyone, how's it going? You are listening to Linux News Log. I am your host, Adrian Bacon, coming to you almost live from lovely Phoenix, Arizona, here in Studio BR2. This episode is number 107 for Monday, October 2nd, 2006, and Linux News Log is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Do feel free to head on over to www.techpodcasts.com and if you like any of my shows, you will certainly find other technology-related podcasts as well over there. We're also listed over at Blueberry, B-L-U-B-R-R-Y, the place where podcasters and podcast listeners finally come together. So that's certainly a noteworthy site to visit as well. Let's go ahead and get into the news for this episode, starting off from DQChannels.com, JBoss integrated first Red Hat application stack is now available. Red Hat, the world's leading provider of open source solutions to the enterprise, recently announced two significant milestones related to its acquisition of JBoss. As of today, multi-platform JBoss enterprise middleware subscriptions are available to Red Hat channel partners globally through major distributors. In addition, the new Red Hat Application Stack subscription, an integrated solution of leading open source technology, is available online on Red Hat Network. So very, very nice. It looks like their acquisition of JBoss is coming along very, very well. The next article that we've got is from CNETnews.com. Hackers claim a zero-day flaw in Firefox. The open-source Firefox web browser is critically flawed in the way it handles JavaScript, two hackers said Saturday afternoon. An attacker could commandeer a computer by running the browser simply by crafting a web page that contains some malicious JavaScript code. Misha Spiegelmach and Andrew Webelsoy, I guess, said in a presentation at the TourCon Hacker Conference here. The flaw affects Firefox on Windows, Apple computers, Mac OS X, and Linux, they said. So bad news, I guess you could say, but it was bound to happen at some point. That's all I'm going to say. Okay, from SysCon India, open source guru Eric S. Raymond joins FreeSpire leadership team. So very, very nice. One of the co-founders of the open source movement has become the member of the FreeSpire Leadership Board. FreeSpire is a community-driven Linux-based operating system that gives users the option of combining free open source software with certain proprietary codecs, drivers, and applications. Raymond, well known as both a theorist and an advocate for the open source movement, joins 12 other FreeSpire Leadership Board members, composed of thinkers, business people, evangelists, and key members of the Linux community. So kind of interesting to see that happen. The article brings out, in recent weeks, Raymond has surprised many by speaking publicly about the necessary compromise that open source advocates must be willing to make by providing for an easy way for open source software to work with key proprietary technologies for which there are not yet adequate open source alternatives. FreeSpire is the most prominent desktop Linux distribution to embrace this concept. So kind of shocking to everybody, and I don't really talk about advocacy a whole lot here, but for, you know, Eric S. Raymond, this is a bit of a change of direction. Anyway, feel free to check that out if you so desire. From INQ7.net, in their technology section, STI steps up Linux training for project recipients. Technology School STI was tapped by the Department of Trade and Industry to provide training on open source technologies, notably on the Linux operating system, to 1,200 teachers from schools that were recipients of the PCs for Public School project. STI is among the three private companies, along with computer provider Lenovo and Advanced Solutions, Inc., that were part of the winning bid for the third phase of the PCPS. So, kind of cool to see that happen. You know, certainly not everything that, I just forgot what I was going to say. Never mind. The next story that we've got is from Tech News World. Mandriva Linux 2007 adds gaming to its mix. In addition to the Sega gaming engine, I guess you could call it that, Mandriva Linux 2007 will also include a host of other new features, among them improved overall usability, 3D desktop, Skype, Lin DVD, and a complete office suite. The Sega gaming component, however, makes Mandriva Linux better equipped to give Linux users the essentials they have come to expect of a desktop computer. So it looks like Trans Gaming is the one doing it. They're a developer of software portability products. They provide the Sega portability engine that will be incorporated into Mandriva Linux 2007. So anyway, it'll allow the playing of video games such as Empire Interactive's Flat Out, which is also part of the Mandriva Linux 2007 offering. Right out of the box, you don't have to do anything, so that's always kind of cool. All right, don't go away. We've got a couple of bills to pay, and then we will be right back with more Linux news. This episode is sponsored by GoToMeeting. Getting to and from meetings, like driving 2 hours for a one-hour meeting or flying to headquarters for a half-day training session, can be a real waste of time and money. Well, you can save time and money by meeting online with GoToMeeting. With GoToMeeting, you can invite people to meet you online, and during your call, they see your computer screen on their monitor. Meet as long as you want, as often as you need. It's one flat rate. Try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. There's no credit card required. Just visit GoToMeeting.com/tech podcasts. That's GoToMeeting.com/tech podcasts. Try GoToMeeting free today. No credit card needed. This podcast is brought to you by Visa. When you use Visa, you're protected by multiple layers of Visa security, including continuous monitoring. In addition to other fraud monitoring tools, Visa continually monitors transactions so that they can spot fraud based upon transactions on the card that are outside of a cardholder's typical purchasing pattern. This allows Visa to spot fraudulent activity as quickly as possible and acts as an early warning system to identify fraudulent activity. Safer, better money. Life takes Visa. Okay, the next story that we've got is from desktoplinux.com. Bigger, better crossover ads, wow, to Linux. Would-be Windows on Linux gamers got a very early Christmas present today with the release by Codeweavers of the first public beta of Crossover 6.0 with support for World of Warcraft and other Steam-based games such as Half-Life 2 and Counter-Strike. Codeweavers CEO Jeremy White wants to make sure, though, that everybody understands that this is still beta software and there are many issues remaining. We still have ways to go and still have a ways to go until we feel comfortable considering it ready for release. While we greatly appreciate feedback on this release, if you don't like bleeding edge experimental software, we'd really rather you waited for a proper product version. So if you want to try it out, as always, I'll have everything linked up in the show notes. Looks pretty cool. There's a couple of screenshots they have here, and we'll see what comes of it. We'll always be following stories like that. From the Red Herring over at redherring.com, Red Hat shares lose 21%. Investors pushed shares of Red Hat lower Wednesday after the company reported that its profit dropped 34%. Red Hat shares plunged $5.52 or 21% at $20.80 in morning trading. Raleigh, North Carolina-based Red Hat reported after the market closed Tuesday that its revenue increased 52% in the second quarter compared with the same quarter last year. So kind of harsh, but you know, stuff like that happens. The next story we've got is from Tech News World. Novell to support Red Hat with Linux with Zen Intel technology. In a twist made possible by virtualization or the running of multiple virtual computer servers on one physical server through special software, Novell said this week it would support Linux virtualization, including instances of rival Red Hat's Linux Enterprise 4 operating system, using Zen virtualization optimized for Intel hardware. Novell said it will offer enterprise support both for its own SUSE Linux Enterprise Server 9 and for Red Hat Enterprise Linux 4 running on top of SUSE Linux Enterprise Server 10 using Zen technology and Intel's dual-core Xeon platforms. So kind of cool. I'm always for virtualization. You know, consolidate everything down to one or two servers. That's my thing. So we'll see what comes of that. From Technocrat at technocrat.net, IBM files for summary judgment in SCO versus IBM Linux case. As reported by Grok Law, now that the discovery phase of the SCO versus IBM trial is over, IBM is asking the judge for a full summary judgment. Summary judgment means that there are no material issues of fact remaining to be tried, which needs to be decided by a jury, and the judge can just go ahead and make a judgment. So, IBM seems to be confident that the facts on the table are clear and in IBM's favor. So, we'll see what comes of this. I'll be keeping an eye on it. Obviously, this is severely drawn out, but all things court related are, from my experience. So, as always, we'll be following what goes on with the SCO IBM case. From ZDNet Australia, Munich fires up Linux at last. Yahoo! Munich has started to migrate Linux on the desktop a year later than planned. The local government in the German city has transferred 100 staff members in the Lord Mayor's department to a Debian configuration, and it intends to migrate 80% of the city's PCs by mid-2009. It has not been an easy transition for the government, which first announced its intention to move to Linux in 2003, and which had scheduled the first launch to occur in 2005. And we've been continuously reporting on this as they've made progress. It's one of the news stories that I kind of keep an eye on because I want to see what comes of it. This seems to be a bit more drawn out than most Linux migrations, but still interesting nonetheless. So that will pretty much do it for this edition of Linux News Log. As always, everything we talked about is linked up in the show notes. You can always get the show notes on our website, linux.quicksurf.com. You can contact me via email, linux@quicksurf.com. I do accept audio comments. And we have a voicemail hotline, 602-466-3134. That's 602-466-3134. Feel free to call in and give me a piece of your mind if you want to do that, or if you just want to leave a comment. That's cool too. I'll play it here on the show. We also have a Kiptronics audience survey and a PodTrack audience survey up on the site. So please help me out and feel free to, or no, not feel free. Please help me out and fill them out if you would be so kind to do so. And we will see how that goes along as well. The Podcasting and Portable Media Expo is over. I did see a couple of interesting things. There's one podcastinabox.com. They provide a Linux-based solution. They've open-sourced it. They do provide, you know, a box, so if you want to buy the hardware, you can, but you can also just buy the software, and it will do all of your, you know, recording, publishing. You know, it's not designed for editing or anything like that. I thought that was kind of cool. It's geared mainly towards academia and other instances where they just need to publish regular audio, you know, updates, but they're not really going to be editing it. The guy just wants to, you know, boop, plug something in, talk like he's transcribing, finish, and it'll publish it out. And that's, it seems to do that fairly well. So, it's interesting that they've made it open source and you can get the source code and run it on pretty much anything you want. So I thought that was kind of cool. A couple of other things I've noticed, there's more hosting providers for podcasters that are in part Linux-based or all Linux-based, so that was interesting as well. Usually you don't see very many of those around, at least not using the Libsyn format of hosting, but something to keep an eye on. And other than that, you know, it was walking around handing out business cards and conducting interviews. There wasn't anything else that was really all that Linux related, but mostly, you know, audio gear stuff. Podcast Ready was there. A couple of other, actually a lot of other companies. It was bigger this year than it was last year, so that's always cool. I was going to take pictures and stuff, but I just didn't get around to it. But I do have I just forgot what I was going to say. I do have audio content that I'll be putting up on the Geekinator in the coming weeks. So that'll be interesting as well. All right. I've pretty much taken up all my time. So I will talk with all of you next Monday for the next show. Thank you so much for listening. I will see you then. Bye-bye.